discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God has not changed. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified.
Can you give Jesus a big shout? Glory! Hallelujah! I didn't say you should give me a shout. I said you should give Jesus, your Savior, a big shout! Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus? Wow. Let's pray and then we'll get into the word. Father, thank you for the blessing. We are grateful and we are thankful for this opportunity that we have to receive from you once again on this platform. Lord, we pray that you speak to us, bring your word to us with so much clarity. We receive your word with meekness, with gladness. We pray especially for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Help us get to know Jesus some more this afternoon to your glory and to your praise. Bring healing, bring stability, bring wealth, bring increase, especially into our lives as we hear your word. Thank you for changes, for deliverance, for renewal of minds to your glory and to your praise. Thank you, Father, for the blessing we have once again, even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You may give your neighbor a high five and take your seat. Tell your neighbor, you're looking nice, but I'm looking nicer than you. You're welcome. Hallelujah. So I'm sharing with you on something very important. You know, this platform is a platform of sharing very important things. So whenever you hear Believers Convention, you should know that we are going to hear something very important. And if you take your time to go online to look at some of the things that have been shared in the last 2 years. This is the third one, right? Okay, in the last 2 years, both here in Accra and also in Kumasi, you'll be blessed. So some of the conventions are called Grace Encounter as well. So we have believers. If you go online, if you go onto the YouTube channel, you see Believers Convention, and then you see Grace Encounter. These two conferences are very powerful. I think God gives us the opportunity to hear very important things on this particular platform. Hallelujah. Because of the importance of, the first and most important thing that happens to us after we get born again is the renewal of our minds. Okay? I think you can write it down. The first and most important thing that we need to do after we are born again is to renew our minds. Hallelujah. We need to renew our minds. Tell anybody, we need to renew our minds. It's very important. You need to renew your mind. Okay? Because all that God will do for us, He has already done amazingly. And all that God has done is in our spirits. And we need to know what has been put into our spirit by God. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, verse 12. Let's read from verse 11. I think it's nice. Or even from verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, it's good to see all of you. I'm glad you are here. But as it is written, eye has not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Then it says, but those things that God has prepared for those who love him, he has revealed to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then he goes to the next verse and says, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of that man which is in him? So it's like your spirit knows everything that the Lord has hidden, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's all inside your spirit. That's an amazing thing. Then he says that, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Then he shows you why he has given you the Holy Spirit. In the next verse 12, he says that, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. For what purpose? So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Yes. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit, one of the major reasons the Holy Spirit has been given to us, is to help us know what has already been given to us, do you see, by God in our spirits. So Christianity is a discovery of what is inside, of what God has put inside you. And you see, what God has put inside you has a name. His name is Jesus. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The biggest revelation of the New Testament is Christ in you. The fact that Christ or Jesus can be in you, or the Father, the Godhead can be in you. Are you in the church? You have gone home. So God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to know what has already been given to us. Because you need to know it up here. You need to know it in here, in your heart, in your mind, and in your heart. So he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us know the things that are freely given to us of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. You know, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God. Grace and truth is multiplied to you. Or you receive more grace. You're able to do more. Not by praying more, but by knowing more of someone, through the knowledge of God. Okay? The word N is Kai. It can be translated even. So it's supposed to read, grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, even our Lord, even Jesus our Lord. So the God is, so he's talking about Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. The more we know him, the more our minds is renewed. Okay? You need to allow your mind to be renewed along the lines of who God is. You can write it down. I'm preaching on. What I'm saying is very important, even though that's not what I'm supposed to preach about. Yes. You need to renew your mind concerning God, who God is. You need to renew your mind concerning, or who the Godhead is, okay? You need to renew your mind concerning who you are. You need to renew your mind concerning who Satan is. You need to renew your mind concerning what you can do. Self-education. Yeah. If you don't think that God is a good God, you'll be surprised. David said that, I would have fainted if I had not known the goodness of the, if I had not believed in the goodness of the Lord, that I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land. Can you show me that verse? Psalm 27, verse 13. Can we read this together? One to go. I would have lost, just two people are in the church. Let's read it together. One to go. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Can we read other versions? Maybe NLT. This one says, okay, Amplified. I think Amplified is nice. Amplified Classic. Let's read it together. One, two, go. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? What would have become of me had I not believed that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? So what you believe about the Lord determines what experience you have in life. Some of us think that God is a very wicked guy. Oh, we need to pray a lot to get him to do one thing. One small thing. Just one. We need to pray very. That's why we are in a meeting like this. Do you see? Your mind needs to be renewed. It's so important. What you think about God. It has to change. What you think about yourself. Sometimes You think about yourself from the perspective of your home, where you have come from. I can't do this. I can't do that. Me, I don't think I can be used by God because I've not been so good, because I'm timid, because I come from, I've not gone to school, I've not had this, I've not had that, I've not had, hey, you'll be surprised that what you are thinking will either put you over or defeat you. It's what you think concerning yourself. What happened to Christ? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So you need to renew your mind concerning yourself, concerning what God sees concerning you. You need to see yourself the way God sees you. God doesn't see you as a very bad boy. He sees you as a very good boy. Because God is wearing a spectacle. When it comes to God, has some specs. You know, when you have some spectacles, red spectacles on, all you see is red. Everything will be red. Is it true? If you have green spectacles on, everything will be green. We'll all look like hawk. Is it true? Now, God has some spectacles he's wearing. God sees you in Christ. Yes. The spectacle he's wearing is Christ. And when he sees you in Christ. He sees you as righteous. He sees you as holy. He sees you as qualified. He sees you as beautiful. That's how God sees you. You have to believe it. Okay? Yes. You need to renew your mind concerning Satan. Some of us think that Satan is very powerful. We attribute everything to Satan. Yes. Everything. Small thing. One dream. Hey, Satan is after me. You are giving him too much power in your life. When he is nothing. He is nothing. The Bible says, I'm not the one saying it. Colossians chapter 1, for instance. Verse 12 and verse 13. Look at Colossians 1 from verse 12 and verse 13. We are just warming up. You see, I've not told you my title for the day. Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Then he says that, who? God has delivered us. He's not delivering us. He's not thinking about it. He's not seeing how good you'll be before he delivers you. He says, God, who has delivered? Show us the verse. God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He has delivered us. He's not going to. He's not thinking about how much you've prayed in order to take you out of some problem. You must believe what God says. There are things we pray about and there are things we believe for. It's not everything we pray about. Some of us are praying about things you're not supposed to pray about. You are praying that God will make you rich. God has already made you rich. You need to believe that he has made you rich. You need to renew your mind about the devil. Okay? It's important. You are praying that God will bless you. I mean, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of my verses that I'm going to use today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly. There's no places there. The word places in italics. If you have a good Bible, you see that it's in brackets or in italics. Do you have a good Bible, Mr. Screen Guy? Look at it. This is a good Bible. It says, blessed be the God, you see, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly in Christ. There's no heavenly places. He has blessed you with the whole of heaven. Oh, yes. Heaven. You see, and the word every is every type, every shape, every form, every manner of blessings in heavenly, in the heavenlies, in Christ. It is all inside. It is located in the Son. Are you in the Son? If you are in the Son, he says that you have the blessing. You are the blessed of God. And you need to believe what God has said. You don't pray about it. This is not something to pray about. This is something to believe. Yes, you believe it. How do you believe something? When we say believe, what does it mean to believe something? To believe means to accept. To believe means to keep hearing about it. If you want to believe something, just keep reading, keep hearing, keep watching that particular thing concerning that thing. And your faith will be very high about it. Yeah, that's it. That's how you believe something. Yeah. Sometimes, how do I believe this? Believe by watching, hearing, reading, talking about, watching, hearing, reading, talking about, constantly concerning a particular thing. You believe it more. That's how it works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the amazing thing is it go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 now. We read verse 2, remember? Blessed be the God and Father, grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? Then verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. He's not going to do it. He has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. All things that we need for our life. Your future. Everything that you require. He says he has given it to you. What a blessing. He has given you a wife. And given you a husband. He has given you all the cars you will need in your life. He has given you your ministry. All the ministry you will need. All the ministry you need to do. All the churches that need to come out of you. I tell you, he says he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. And living it, having a good life here on earth. Then he says, but it comes to you, you get to experience it, you get to have it practically through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, getting to know, which is the renewal of your mind, is very important. Thinking the way God thinks. Not thinking the way your family members think. Hey. Not thinking the way the country is thinking. And the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches, not according to the economy of the country. Regardless, I believe it strongly. I believe it strongly. Not according to what is happening around me. Not according to dollar rate. When the dollar was getting some way, we were prospering some more. Whatever is going on, COVID or no COVID, we are building. God says to build, so we are building. Where you are sitting was built during COVID. Yes, during COVID, in the heat of COVID. Brothers and sisters, the word works, and we must allow the word of God to have control of our hearts. Instead of allowing social media to have control of our hearts. People who don't know, we don't know them from anywhere. They're saying things, whatever, philosophies, issues, this one. Politicians are talking and saying this, the economy is that. Don't believe in those things. Believe in the word. Believe in what God has said. Renew your mind. And you always need someone to help you understand the word of God. You always need someone to help you understand the word. Because you can read the Bible and you don't know what's going on. Is it true? Yeah. You can read the Bible. You are just seeing letters. You are not seeing much. You start from verse 1. Before long, you are in verse 35. And you don't remember what happened between verse 2 and verse 34. You don't remember. But all you know is that you are in verse 35. Has it happened to you before? Yeah. That's why you need someone. The Ethiopian eunuch was very smart. He said something. God allowed it for it to be captured in the scriptures because of how important it is. Acts chapter 8, verse 31. He says, how can I? He asked him, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I? Go to verse 30. You see the question that Philip asked him. And Philip branded that to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? You can be reading and not understand. You need a teacher in your life, I tell you. You need to receive someone that God has sent to you. That's why we have this platform. You have to receive the information that is coming to you. I have received and I'm still receiving. Yes. Whatever I know, it came from someone. Yes. It came from Bishop Dag, Reverend George, Kenneth Hagin, Pastor Chris, Bishop Oedipo, Joseph Prince, Andrew Womack. These are my people. Yes. You can also listen to them. You can add me to it and listen to all of us. It will help you. You'll be surprised. You will learn something. You will know something. And you will live a certain different type and quality of life. Yes. You have to believe. 90% of what is written in the Bible must be believed. It's just about 10% that you must pray about. 90% is believing. Yes, oh. Believing. They asked Jesus. It's in the Bible. They asked Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the work? I'm not saying something. Show it to us. John chapter 6. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he has sent. John chapter 6, verse 29. Go to 28. Let's see the question. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How many of you want to work the works of God? Those in the corner, it's like, you don't want to work the works of God. You want to work the works of God. He says, Look at the next. Look at Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you pray morning, afternoon, evening."
Never.
"That you fast morning, afternoon, evening."
Never.
Am I saying prayer is not important? Am I saying fasting is not important? That's not what I've said. I didn't say that. You need prayer and fasting to help you believe. When they had a problem with unbelief, he said that you need to fast and pray. So prayer is very important. Fasting is very important. But what I'm trying to let you know is that 90%, Jesus said, "This is the work of God." This is the work of God. Don't change it. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. You believe in Jesus Christ. Is he talking about salvation? Is he talking about salvation? Salvation is the beginning. Then you need to believe him as your supplier. You need to believe him as your protector. You need to believe him as the one who helps you in life. You need to believe that he will give you a husband. You need to believe that he will give you a wife. You need to believe that he will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The work is believing. So if the work is not working, it means that we are not believing something. There's something I don't believe. Yes. And I need to believe it. Hallelujah. We all need someone. Tell neighbor, you need someone. You need some people to teach you the word. Slap your neighbor and say, you need some people to teach you the word so that you can believe. Or else you never believe anything. Yes. That's what we call it, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The more you know about him, the more you believe. And the more you believe, the more fruit you bear. Hallelujah. So today I'm sharing with you on awakening to the fatherhood of God. The fatherhood of God. Awakening to the fatherhood of God. Oh yes. Awakening to the fatherhood of God. I believe we are going to have a nice time. Sit down for 2 minutes and let me explain it to you. Just for 2 minutes. You can stand up after 2 minutes. Awakening to the fatherhood of God. Awakening to the fatherhood of God. Let me start from John chapter 14, verse 6. Popular scripture. Jesus says unto him, because Philip was asking, okay, show us a father. No, not all of that. You know the story. Okay, maybe you don't know the story. Go to verse 1, just in case. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Next verse. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there he may be also." Verse 4. "And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know." Next verse 5. "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest." We don't know. Thomas was a very honest guy. He said, "Where you are going, we know. Ah, please, we don't know what you're talking about. All of us. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither. All of us, we don't know, including John, who is doing to know. He's doing to know. We don't know. We know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way?" And nobody objected. Jesus was talking, they were quiet. Look at the next verse. "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the way, right?
Yes.
But the Father is the destination. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the way to what? He's the way to the Father. Then he says, "No man cometh unto the Father," because the journey is to the Father. The destination is... Are you surprised? I was surprised when I also found out. I said, "Hey, no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Jesus is the way, but the destination of the way is the Father. Do you have the way in mind, or you have the destination in mind when you are going somewhere? If you are traveling to Kuma, when you are coming here, did you have the road on your mind? Or you had the destination in your mind? Where is the enjoyment? The enjoyment is in the destination. Wow! All this wow. I tell you, the destination is the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And you see, and the Jews understood the way, the truth, the life, because it's actually in reference to the various entrances of the Old Testament tabernacle. Okay, the main gate to the outer court was called the way. Then the gate to the inner court, which was the holy place, was called the truth. Then the way to the entrance to the Holy of Holies was called the life. So Jesus was trying to say that I am the doorway to the Ark of Covenant, where the Father, where God himself sits. Do you see? So Jesus is the way, but the destination is the Father. The reason for the knowledge of Jesus Christ is to know the Father. The reason for the way is to know the Father. Jesus came. So Jesus's great commission on the earth was to bring us to the Father. You see, Jesus is the only one who knew the Father. John chapter 1 verse 18. The Bible talks about how that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, or he has revealed him. The word declared is exegomai. You can check it for me. And that's where we get the English word exegesis. Okay, so Jesus is the exegesis of God. He's the one who explains God. He's the one who manifests God. He's the one who gives the very details of God. That's why when they asked him, show us the Father and we'll be fine. Jesus said, have I been so long with you and you have not known who I am? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. That's in John chapter 14 where we're reading. I think verse 8 now. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be fine. We'll be okay. Next verse. Then Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you and yet has thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Because Jesus is the expression of the Father. He is the one who came to declare, explain, let us know who the Father is. Okay? That was his ministry. Jesus' ministry was to let us know the fatherhood of God. He came to declare and manifest the Father. Are you in the church? You have gone home.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at John chapter 6. Let's read verse 46. He says, not that any man has seen the Father, except he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Only Jesus, I'm the only one who has seen the Father. And therefore, I'm the only one who can make him real to anybody. So Jesus came to make someone, that is the Father, real, to explain the fatherhood of God. So in his great priestly ministry, priestly prayer in John chapter 17, look at John 17 verse 6. Can we read this together? One, two, go. Unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. I have manifested your name unto the men which thou givest. Jesus came to manifest or to show, to declare, to explain, to demonstrate the name of God. And the name of God he came to demonstrate was Father. Jesus called God Father 150 times. He called him my Father 150 times. And he referred to him as our Father 30 times at least. Yes. So 180 times, Jesus is talking about God, and he doesn't call him God. Jesus never called God God. Never. Jesus came to reveal God as Father. He never mentioned God. Have you read John 10:30 before? John 10:30. I and my Father are one. When he said that, what happened? When he said that, the Bible says that they took up stones. Then they took up stones again to stone him. Next verse. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. You see, from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Next verse. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Because they knew what he meant. That if he said God was his Father and called God Father, what he meant was that he was also God. So they took up stones to stone him. To say that God is your Father means that you are God. You bear the same DNA, the same genes, everything, same. So they couldn't, they wanted to stone him. Go to the next verse. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world. The Father set him apart and sent him to the world for a purpose to reveal who the Father was. Thou blasphemer, because I said I'm the Son of God. So Jesus, some people say Jesus never called himself the Son of God. This is one verse. Jesus said, I am, because I said I'm the Son of God. Next verse. If I do not the works of the Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. They wanted to kill him. Why? Because he was saying he was a father. He's the one who had come to show the Father, declare the Father. Yeah. Nobody in the entire universe was given this assignment. Jesus was the only one who had this assignment. This was the great commission of Jesus Christ. Yeah. The great commission of Jesus Christ was to bring us to the Father. Mm-hmm. Christ in you is for the purpose of knowing the Father. Eternal life in you is for the purpose of knowing the Father. Yeah. I tell you. Hello? It's like you are surprised about the message. You are very quiet. Hey! Nobody else. You see, there are different names in the Bible that describe God. There are different names of God. It starts from Genesis 1:1. Can we look at Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word God here is Elohim. Elohim. Okay? And Elohim has to do with the creator God, the one who creates. God in three persons that creates, the creator, the one who creates. So, and you see this word Elohim mentioned 38 times in just this verse, in just this chapter. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, oh, it's Elohim, 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 Elohim. In reference to creation, he created this, he created that, he created this, he created that. As soon as he touched clay to make man, they didn't use the word Elohim anymore. They used the word Lord God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Go to Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, you see, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. As soon as God brought man on this, tried to bring man on the scene, he didn't use Elohim. He used Lord God, which is Jehovah. That's another name of God, Jehovah. And Jehovah has to do with the one who is in covenant with man. The God who is in covenant with man. Yahweh, who is in covenant with man. The great I am, who is in covenant with man. Because now he's making man. And he has a special relationship with man, which is to have a covenant with him, to be in covenant with him. So the name changes. Because a name represents the character, the nature, and the existence of a particular person. So the name that God uses, the name that is being used is to demonstrate who God is at a particular point in time. So Elohim is used in reference to creation. Jehovah is used in reference to creating man. And Jehovah is repeated when God comes to see Moses. Moses, Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. Exodus 6, 3. This is God talking to Moses. He says, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. The word God, the name God Almighty is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. The God who supplies all your needs. The God who is a great provider. Shaddai is from the word breast. It means a multi-breasted one. The one who takes care of you, feeds you, supplies for you, preserves you, does everything you want. You get it? But when God appeared to Moses, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them? They had no idea that I was called Jehovah. I didn't reveal that name to them. Because they didn't need deliverance. They didn't need me to be in covenant with them to deliver them in any way. Abraham became my friend, and I provided for him. I supplied all his needs. That was what I was to Abraham. That was what I was to Isaac. That was what I was to Jacob. But you guys are in bondage now. And for me to bring you out of bondage, you need to know me as Jehovah, the God who is in covenant with man, the one who redeems, delivers, helps. None of all these people were given the opportunity to reveal God as Father. Because none of them were sons. Abraham was not a son. He was a friend. Isaac was the friend, the son of a friend. Jacob was the grandson of a friend. Wow. And Moses' own was worse. Moses was a servant. Moses was a servant. So when God showed up to Moses, God told Moses, take off your slippers. Take off your slippers, your sandals. Because where you are standing is holy.
It is servants who take off their slippers to enter their master's room. Yeah? Because Moses was a servant. He didn't say it to Abraham, never. But Moses was a servant. God showed himself as most high. Melchizedek revealed God as the most high God. El Elyon, God most high. Yeah. The one who wails the heavens and the earth to Abraham. Yes. So God showed himself differently with different names, depending on who he was dealing with. And the Bible never uses it. You hear Jehovah Rapha. It's not the God who heals. He's the God who is, he is healing. He is healing. He is healing. It's part of his nature. He is healing. Chidikeno, he's righteousness. He's not the one who makes righteous. He is righteousness. It's his name. Jehovah Nisi, he's the Lord your banner. He is the one who brings salvation. Yes. All those are revelations of God's names, different aspects. But nobody had the opportunity, had the privilege to reveal God as to who he really is, apart from Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the Son. And when Jesus came, the name he chose to use, brothers and sisters, let's be serious. Let's call God by what he wants to be called. Who knows God more than Jesus Christ? Who knows God more than Jesus Christ? Let me show you a verse. John chapter 5, I believe. No man has seen God at any time. You see, I showed you something in John. Remember? John chapter 6, verse 46. Do you remember? How many of you remember? I've quoted too many verses for you already. John 6, 46. You remember this one? Can you read it to me? So who has seen the Father? Jesus Christ. Now, go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. You see, he's always calling God my Father, my Father. Don't be wiser than Jesus. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. No one knows the Father. No one. Tell me about no one.
No one.
Nobody. Nobody knew God as Father. Nobody. They knew him as Almighty, Elohim, Jehovah, El Shaddai, Rapha, Chidikenu. Different. Says no. Jesus says nobody knows him as Father. I'm the only one who knows him as Father. So he's the only one who is qualified to show him as Father. Father represents, the name Father is equal to love. The name Father is equal to what?
Love.
Maybe your father didn't show love, but that is what it means. I pray that God, you understand the love of God so that it can replace whatever love you lost from your natural father or your natural mother. Okay? Yeah. Neither knoweth any man the Father. Neither knoweth any man. Any man includes Abraham. Everybody, any man knoweth the Father except the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Yeah, so Jesus's mission, can you believe it? Jesus's mission was to reveal God as Father to human beings, to let us know that, listen, God is love. Everything you can think about, God is love. God is love. God is love. God wants you. God likes you. God prefers you. God chooses you. God wants to be with you. God wants to stay with you. God wants to enjoy you. And that is why I came for the great redemption, the great redemptive work. The great redemptive work of Jesus Christ was for the purpose of bringing us to the Father. Jesus is the way. The Father is the destination. And the amazing thing is that Jesus, okay, remained in the bosom of the Father even when he came on earth. John chapter 1 verse 18. Look at John 1 verse 18.
Look at this. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the... He should have said, which was in the bosom of the Father. Right? What do you think? He should have used past tense, which was in the bosom of the Father. He has declared it. But he chose not to use was. He chose to use is. Because Jesus Christ, the incarnation did not affect the relationship that the Son had with the Father. The incarnation did not change it. The great incarnation, you know incarnation. When Jesus became a man, he did not leave the bosom of the Father. He came in the bosom of the Father. So when Jesus was walking around, he was walking around. You see, bosom represents care, love. Okay? Bosom represents care, love, protection, preservation, supply, comfort. Do you see? Jesus, when he was walking on earth, was walking in the bosom of the Father. He didn't leave the bosom of the Father. Yeah, he never left the bosom of the Father. In fact, when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 11, I believe, he told Nicodemus that no man has ever gone up to heaven. Verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven. But he that came down from heaven, he's talking about himself. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He says, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So as he was sitting with Nicodemus and having a discussion, he was sitting in heaven. He should have said which was in heaven, but he said which is in heaven. Jesus came with the blessings of heaven here to the earth. And he dwelt in the bosom of the Father. He dwelt in the love of the Father throughout every single stage, every single step of his life. Can you give Jesus a big shout if you have a voice? So he knows the Father. He is the one who was commissioned to declare the Father to us. And he's the only one who is the way to the Father. And he's the only one who can bring you into fellowship with the Father. And guess what? That is what he did. 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 If you are born again, you need to, you see, the title is awaken to the fatherhood of God. Maybe you don't know. That's what I'm telling you. You need to, I preached this many years ago, 5 minutes of Pastor T. Awaken to the fatherhood. There's a number of things on. And then there's another one I preached in Takrade about it about 6 years ago. Awaken to the Father. Because it's a very important thing. You may not know. That's why the Lord is telling me to remind you, to alert you that, listen, there's something you are missing out. You are seeing God wrongly. You should be seeing him as your Father. And there are benefits to seeing him as your Father. And I'm coming to that very soon. Hallelujah. No man has seen him. Jesus dwelt in the bosom of the Father throughout. As he was walking in Galilee, he was in the bosom of the Father. He was not afraid.
Yes.
He was in the protection of the Father. He was in the care of the Father. He was in the love of the Father. He was enjoying the provision of the Father. And that was his mission. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 17, verse 26. John 17, 26. Jesus said, this is Jesus' prayer. It's great. It's called this. John 17 is Jesus' prayer. This is the actual Lord's prayer. What we know as a Lord's prayer is God, Jesus teaching us how to pray. Okay? Teaching us what to do when we are praying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's trying to let you know that you pray to the Father and you praise his name, you worship his name. Isn't it? Then the next thing is thy kingdom come. You must pray for the kingdom of God to come. What God wants done here on earth, the will of God must be done. The will of God, of the church increasing, of Christ having dominion, the authority of Christ increasing in the earth, must be prayed about. Okay? Then he says, give us this day our daily bread. Isn't it? Give us this day. So you should pray for your daily bread. You should ask the Father for your daily bread every day. If you don't ask, some of us will ask and take yours. Because the Father is into supply. He will give you what you need for every single day. Hallelujah. So Jesus was showing us, you know, the manner, steps to prayer. Okay? Start off by thanking the Father, hallowing his name, praising his name, worshiping his name. Then start praying. The next thing is not to pray for your wants. Stop praying for your wants. Right after you thank God. He says, pray for the kingdom of God to come. Pray that the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let the kingdom of God pray about the church growth, about the church
growing. Don't say that I'm not a pastor, so I won't pray for church growth. Or don't say I'm not a pastor, so I won't pray for souls. You need to pray for souls. Souls. People getting born again is God's aim. It's God's will. Hey. Then he goes on and on and on and on. Then he says, the next thing is pray for your supply. He wants you to pray for your supply. And then he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This one has been done. It's been fulfilled. God has forgiven us because of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, verse 34. If you listen to Reverend George's message on present truth, he will mention this one. Ephesians 4, verse 34. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You see, we've been forgiven. So we are not praying and for God to forgive us as we forgive those who forgive us. Like, we'll be in trouble because you've not forgiven all those who forgive, who have offended you. You have some people in your heart you are yet to forgive. But God is not minding you. He's not looking at it to bless you or not to bless you. We forgive because we are forgiven. That's what we do. We forgive because we are forgiven. We don't forgive so that we'll be forgiven. We forgive because we are forgiven. Okay? Then the next one, he says that, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, isn't it? And deliver us from evil. Has that also happened? It has happened. God has delivered us from evil. I showed you in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from Satan to the power of God. So we are delivered from evil. You thank him for delivering you from all evil, all the things that are coming. Okay? Jesus was showing us what to pray or the manner to pray. But Jesus actually prayed for you and I, for the apostles. And that's in John chapter 17. And he said his utmost desires in that particular prayer. And one of the things he spoke about is what I want to show you in John chapter 17, verse 26. Okay? Are you in the church? You have gone home already. Look at this. Jesus says, and I have declared unto them thy name. What name is that? Father. Do you understand that is the name Father now? He says, I have declared. My mission on earth was to declare your name. And I have declared it. Remember, go to verse 6, 17, 6. 17, 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I have shown them, I've demonstrated your nature of love. The name Father is the nature of is the name of love, is the nature of love, the character of love. I've demonstrated it to them. Do you see? Then he goes to verse 26 and says that I have declared unto them your name. Then he says, and I will declare it. Jesus is showing us his eternal ministry. This is the eternal ministry of Jesus Christ. I have declared. I declared the whilst I was here on earth with them. I'm going and I will declare. And I will declare it. So that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. So Jesus up to today is still declaring the name of the Father. That's what I'm talking to you. He's declaring to you to let you know that, listen, God is your Father, brother. God is your Father, sister. Stop being confused. Stop looking for things. Remember that God is your Father. He says, I have declared and I will declare. Hey, slap your neighbor and say, do you understand what the ban is saying? I have declared and I will declare. So as we are talking now, Jesus is declaring and showing you that God is your Father. God is your Father. God loves you as much as he loves me. Can you imagine that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus Christ? As much as he loves Jesus Christ. Look at it. It says, and I have declared unto them and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. I want them to know how much you love them with the love that you have loved me with. Go to verse 23. Some people don't like love, so they are sleeping. Can we read this together? Can we read this together? I want to go. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The same love that God loved Jesus with is the same love that he has given to you and I now. He says he wants you to know it. And Jesus has a ministry of declaring to you that, brother, you are loved. Sister, you are loved. Brother, you are loved. Sister, you are loved. God loves you. God likes you. God enjoys you. Oh, hallelujah. This has been God's goal. Sit down for 2 minutes. God's goal before, you see, there are two words in the Bible. There's before the foundations of the world or before the world began.
And then there's from the foundations of the world. They are two different words altogether. They are not the same. There's before, you can check it when you go home. Before the foundation of the world, or before the world began. And then there's from the foundation of the world. Okay? From the foundation of the world is in reference to creation. When this world, as we know it, started. Before the world began, or before the foundation of the world, has to do with eternity past. And God had a desire for you and I. God thought about you and I before eternity passed. One of the things God thought about was to give you grace. Grace is not before. Grace is not a matter of when Adam fell. No, grace is not a contingency plan. Grace was before. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8 and 9. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Next verse. "Who has saved us?" God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So before the world began, God had it. It says, but according to his own purpose and grace. Are you in the church? Grace was a matter of before the world began. It didn't start recently. Before. God chose to give you grace. Remember, we are the trophies of God's grace for all eternity. Yes, we are the trophies of God's grace. And he didn't decide recently. The word there's what? Chronos. Before time began. Before time. So before time. So there's eternity past. There's eternity future. And between the two is time. Before time began, God had you in mind. And God had grace. He wanted you to be a display of his grace. It's not something he determined in time. No. Another thing he determined before the world began is your salvation. And your you being in the place of his son to enjoy the love that he gives to the son. The same love God gives to the son is the same love that God designed and planned beforehand to give to you. I pray that God gives you understanding. Honestly, you see, this message, there's only one prayer, and God give us understanding. Yeah, because some of the things, it doesn't make sense. You read in the Bible, you wonder, what is he talking about? Is he real? How can God love me with the same love that he loved Jesus Christ? You. Even you can't love yourself. God loves you with the same love. The same love. Not some. The same. The same. Didn't you see it? John chapter 17, verse 23, once again. John 17, 23. Same love. Same love. Same love. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and you have loved them as thou hast loved me. Same love. You see, the love that God has for Jesus Christ is also before the foundations of the world and before the world began. It's in one of these verses. Check for me. John 17. 24. Thank you. 24. Show us. 17, 24. "Father, I would that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Before. The love that God has for Jesus was before the foundation of the world. Not from the foundation of the world. Before everything started, God the Father had Jesus, had the Son. And the reason for the Son is for the expression of love. But God didn't want only Jesus to have the place. He wanted to include all of us. That's why we came into the picture. For us to be the object. Jesus is the object of God's love. And God decided to put us into him so that we can be the object of his love as well. Jesus occupies a very special place. The Son occupies a very special place. It's the place of God's eternal love, where God showers preservation, protection, supply, goodness, care, comfort. He treats you. This is the Dada B type of life. Oh, yes. That Jesus was the Dada B of all eternity. And God planned beforehand that you also be the Dada B of all eternity. Yeah, that was the design of God before the foundations of the earth. And that's in Ephesians chapter 1. Ours, I've showed you Jesus' own. Ours is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He says, according as he has chosen us in him, he chose us in Christ. In Christ. Before the foundation. Are you seeing it? Before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? That we should be holy and without blame before him. Before him. You see, the word in love is in the next verse. Show us the NIV. NIV. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. To be holy and blameless in his sight. And that is God's design. In fact, it has happened. This thing has happened. So you stand before God blameless, holy and blameless. Maybe you don't see yourself as holy and blameless. Your husband or your wife may not see you as holy and blameless. But before God's eyes, you are holy and blameless. Because that was God's design before the foundation of the world. And he has accomplished it in Christ. He says that, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Full stop. Then, in love, the next verse, he predestinated us. Do you understand predestination? Predestination means to have a destination in mind before you move. When you left your house, you had this place in mind. So you were predestinated to come here. You had the destination before you moved. So in what God is trying to say is that before everything began, God had given us an end, a destination, before everything began. And the destination was this. It says, he predestinated us to be adopted as his sons. You see, the word adopted as his sons is not, it's not like what we know today. It's not going to the orphanage and bringing someone to a house who is not your child, biologically. This word adopt is poorly translated. It's actually supposed to be sonship. So he predestinated us to sonship. The Greek word is euthesia. It's one word, euthesia. It means son place or sonship. Son placement, to be in son place. To be in the place of Jesus Christ. To be seated in the place where Jesus is seated. And God predestined in love, in his love for us, before the foundation of the world, he predestinated that we should be in the same place the sun sits, so that he can shower on us love, peace, joy, blessings, grace, beauty. And you are seated there now. Because he has accomplished it. He has accomplished it. This was God's aim. And it was according to the good pleasure of his will. He predestined to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. In accordance with his pleasure and will. This one is not even saying it well. Can you show us King James? Verse 5. Having predestined us also that those are treated by Jesus Christ himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. This pleasure brought is God's good. When God thought about it, I was like, I like this, I like this, I like this, I like this. I want you to be in some place where I can shower you with beauty. TPT, let's read TPT. Thank you very much. TPT. Can we read it together? Are you ready to read? Let's read it together. I want to go. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us will glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? Oh, you are not seeing it. Slap your neighbor and say, God loves you. Slap your neighbor and say, God enjoys you. Lift your hand like this. Lift your hand like this. And shake it like this. And slap your neighbor and say, you are loved. You are loved. God enjoys you. Oh, hallelujah. That was God's plan before the foundations of the world. And today, you and I are seated in some place. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Just imagine you planning something to happen. And then something comes to take it off. You see, you plan that, oh, I'm going to go, I'm coming to church. And then your car gets parked on the way. And then you know that the meeting time is up. They are preaching. And you really want to be there. How do you feel when it's like that? You feel like flying. You want to get the car, whatever you want to do to get the car running, you get the car running, isn't it? That's how God felt when Adam fell. Yeah, because Adam was the one. We are Adam's children. We are the ones that God had designed and planned to shower love on. We are the object. Jesus is the object of his love. And he has put us in Jesus so that he will be the object of his love. And then there was a problem. The fall came. High treason. Man committed high treason. Sin came into the picture. And God could not wait to embrace us once again. He couldn't wait. You see, like the prodigal son. The prodigal son was embraced by the father in all his debt, in all his smelly, piggy, whatever. The father ran towards him. The word run there is trekio. It means to take a sprint. There's another word for marathon. Yeah, that one is in 1 Corinthians 9. That is not the word that is used. It is trekio, sprint. It was illegal for anyone who was 30 years and above to run in Israel. A Jew who was 30, because you are not supposed to run because of the long skirts they wore. If you run, you will fall. And if you are going to run, you have to carry your dress. That is exposing your nakedness, which is an abomination. You shouldn't expose your nakedness. But the father went against all of those things. He carried his cloth and ran towards his son and embraced him. Listen, the story of the prodigal son is actually not the story of the prodigal son. It's the story of the father. The father and the desire of the father to shower love consistently and continuously upon his children. He kissed him. The boy came with a rehearsed speech. When he saw himself eating from the dad, he said, "Oh, let me go to my father and I'll say to my father, I have sinned against you, I have sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me as one of..." Just because of food. He never thought of his father, not even once. He had no repentance in his heart, not even once. He had food. He says, "How many of my servants, the high servants in my father's house, have enough food to eat and to spare? I'll rise and go." It was because of food he was going back. He didn't have any feeling for his father. There was no feeling for his father. But the father was always sitting, looking on the horizon, expecting his son to come back home. Every day he was expecting him. The Bible says that while he was a great way afar off, the father saw him and he ran. He took a sprint. Yes, he had compassion on him and ran. This is the boy who took his inheritance away. He took him. He killed his father before his father died. He said, "My father is dead to me." He didn't want to have anything to do with his father. And he left the house. Yes. The love never changed. The father was always looking for him. Always. And when he saw him, he ran. And he embraced him. And he kissed. The word kiss is kiss repeatedly. He kissed him repeatedly. Kiss his neck. Kissing the neck is a sign of forgiveness. The father, yeah, that's a Jewish sign of forgiveness. The father forgave him. Well, have you kissed someone's neck already? He fell on his neck and kissed him. The father kissed him. Look at the Amplified. Luke 15:20, Amplified. He says he kissed him repeatedly. Eh? And he ran and embraced him and kissed him fervently, repeatedly, fervently. Kissed him. Letting him know I've forgiven you. It was when he knew the goodness of his father's heart that he repented. He started repenting. The next verse, he starts repenting. And the father did not even allow him to go through his speech. He said, "Bring him the robe." He gave him the robe of the firstborn son. Yeah. He gave him the robe of the firstborn son. That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Righteousness. Gave it to him free of charge. This foolish boy who has gone to waste your resources, he gave him a ring. The ring was a sign of, it was like a Visa card today or a MasterCard today, an ATM card today. After he had gone to spend everything, the father still gave him the Visa card. Yeah, only nobles and princes had those things. When you buy anything, you put it down and then it will be debited. He gave him more access. Spend more. Then he gave him shoes. Shoes represent sonship, acceptance. It's slaves who don't have shoes. Yeah. He gave him shoes. Because the guy was barefooted. He came barefooted as a slave. The father said, "No, you are not a slave. You are my son." He gave him shoes. He said, "You accepted." That's how much the father loves you, brother. You may think it's only about salvation. The boy was already in his father's house and left and came back. Yeah. It's beyond salvation. If today you feel like you have been neglected, you don't feel loved, know that God loves you. God doesn't joke with you at all. God prefers you. God prefers you. God is not thinking of destroying your life. God loves you. He likes you. He enjoys you. Are you born again? If you are born again, you're his child. You stand and sit in some place. Let me show you to Galatians chapter 4. Sit down for 2 minutes. That's what Jesus did. So God, the love of God. Hey, God, the Father is love. Father, if you hear Father, is equal to love. Father is equal to love, which is equal to provision, which is equal to preservation, which is equal to protection, which is equal to supply, which is equal to confidence. That's who the Father is. A Father is the one who gives you confidence in life. Hey. Now we are in some place because of Jesus' great sacrifice on the cross. The love of God couldn't wait to embrace us. You see, the word embrace in the prodigal son's case is the same word for fail. The Holy Ghost fell in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. When Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his household, you see, Acts 10, 44. While Peter had spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The word fell is the same word. You can check it. Same word as embraced in Luke chapter 15, verse 3. Same word. So the Holy Ghost embraced, brought the embrace of the Father to the people. Yeah. God was in a hurry, I tell you. There's no place in the word of God that shows God in a hurry. There's no place. Because God is never in haste. Time is subjected to God. God is not subjected to time. The only time in the whole Bible where God ran was the story of the prodigal son. In bringing love to his children. Yeah. When it comes to God showering love on you, he's in a hurry. It's the only time God runs. Yeah. When it's time to share, like express his love to brothers and sisters, we are blessed. We are loved. Say we are loved. Say I am loved. Because I am in some place. We are not. That was God's design before. That will be in that place where he will shower his love on us constantly. You see. But Adam delayed the process. God's love could not wait, but God's justice needed to be paid for. Because man has sinned. The wages of sin is what? Is dead. I'm just telling you a story. Yeah. The wages of sin is dead. So man needed to pay. And if man pays, he's not coming back. So God sends his son to collect that, to pay, to be the payment. God's justice needed to be satisfied so that God's love will be released. Because God's love was always jogging. He wants to hurry. He wants to come and embrace us. It's like sin has prevented us. He can't wait to get into the meeting. The car is spoiled. The car needs to be fixed so that they can get there quickly. Redemption was to just clear the way. That's why when Jesus said it is finished, the temple curtain tore into two. And it wasn't a way created for man to go to God, though. It was a way created for God to come to man. God ran out of the curtain. He rushed out of it. Yeah. He ran out of him to come and embrace us and be with us. God's eternal desire before the foundations of the world was to love, was to have sons. The Father wants sons that he loves, he can love. The Son wants a bride that he can marry. The Spirit wants a temple that he can live in. And all these three are accomplished in the church through the redemption. Yeah. Through the redemption, the Father gets sons. Through the redemption, the Son gets a bride. Through the redemption, the Spirit gets a temple to dwell in forever. That's what the Father has always wanted. That's what the Godhead has always wanted. And thank God that has been accomplished. Now you are seated in heavenly places together with Christ Jesus. That is where you are seated. And that place is the place where God showers you love. Love. Love upon love upon love upon love upon love, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, goodness upon goodness upon goodness upon goodness. That's where you are seated, brothers and sisters. Believe it,
believe it,
believe it, believe it. That's where I'm seated. Whenever you see yourself, whenever you think about yourself, don't think of yourself as someone who is barely getting by, someone who God is considering, checking to see. If you have been good enough, if you've not been good enough, God is not nice to you. No, it's not like that. Oh, You didn't get to some place by yourself. Jesus brought you there. You cannot absorb it by your works. It is Jesus' work that brought you there. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Always remember that. It's the devil who lets us think that everything depends on us. The difference between the older son and the younger son was works. Do you know that when the father divided his goods, the younger son is the one who requested for it. Luke 12, verse 11. A certain man had two sons. Luke 15, 11. A certain man had two sons. And the younger, is the younger one, said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." But look at what the father did. Can we read the rest? One to go. And he divided unto them his living. He divided unto what? Them. He didn't divide unto the son, the younger son. He divided unto both of them. Orphan spirit. He divided unto them his living. Both of them, not the younger one only. Both of them got it. And the amazing thing about the inheritance is that the older son gets the double portion. Yeah. So the inheritance is divided into three. There's a lot of the double portion where the older son gets twice what every other person gets. So if there are four children, they divide into five. The older son gets two, then the rest gets one, one, one. So in this case, this guy got two. The father divided into three. He gave two to the older and gave one to the younger. So what the younger went to consume was lower than what the older son had. But the older son didn't know what he had. He didn't know what he had. That is why he said that foolish thing to his father. That all this while I've been working, I've been serving you. It is servants who serve. It is servants who serve. You are not a servant, you are my son. He says, "You are always my son." Can you show it to us? But as soon as, this is Luke 15 verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come. Go to 29. And he said unto him, 29. And he answered, said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee." The word is slave. Yeah. He was slaving. Why are you slaving? When everything has been made ready. What did there? Is this believer's conversion? You are expected to be a believer. You are expected to know the Bible. What did the man who prepared a great feast say to his servants? He says, "Go and tell them that all things are made ready." All things, can you show it to us? Matthew chapter 20, 25, I believe. All things are made ready. All things are made ready. The Father has already prepared everything. Come and enjoy. Matthew 22, verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready." Come unto the mind. All things are ready. The Father does not prepare partially and say that, "Come with a goat to the party." When you are coming to the party, come with a goat. When you are no contribution, no chop. The Father is not into no contribution, no chop. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Father is not into no contribution, no chop. He doesn't need you to do anything. All things are made ready. It's a banquet. Come and enjoy. Even the slaves had enough to eat. Why was he still looking his slave mentality? So your mindset can defeat you, brother. Your mindset can defeat you. When you're always thinking that, "Oh, I need to do this and this and this before this happens for me. I've not done A, B, C, D. That's why I am not being blessed. I've not fasted enough. That's why things are not working. I've not prayed enough." Archbishop Idahosa said something. He said something great happened in his life. Then he said that, "I am grateful to God that I don't owe fasting glory." Yeah. Because some people owe fasting glory. "I fasted for 1 year. That is why this happened." You are glorifying fasting, not Jesus Christ. You are glorifying prayer. You are glorifying. "I prayed for 75 hours. That's why this happened." Am I saying don't pray? I never said don't pray. But prayer is supposed to be an intimacy between you and God. If you have a beloved or if you have a friend and you chat, you are chatting and chatting and your beloved, you are chatting with your beloved. Do you check the time? Before long, 3 hours has come. Before long, 5 hours has come. All night, free night call, the whole night, isn't it? Is it true or it's not true? That's the kind of thing. When you put a timer by any relationship, it doesn't work. You can pray for a long time if you don't think it is a chore. If you don't put a watch by it. You can talk to God for 3 hours, for 4 hours, without even noticing. You wouldn't have to discuss it with anybody because you're enjoying God. You're having sweet fellowship with God. It's no pressure. Enjoy God. Enjoy God. Are you in the church? Yes. This older son was into works. All those who are into works criticize those who are enjoying the goodness of God. They criticize those who are enjoying the goodness of God. Those who are not working. Those who are not doing some things. When the boy came, they killed the fatted calf. One young man was asked, Sunday school, they asked him, who was sorry when the prodigal son came home? The answer is supposed to be the prodigal son, right? But the little boy said, the fatted calf. The fatted calf was sorry. God, when the guy came, he was killed. But the fatted calf represents Christ, our peace offering. Christ, our peace. You see, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18, talks about how that when your son does something wrong, you have a prodigal son. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the him out unto the elders of the seat of the city and unto the gates of his place. Next verse. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Next verse. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones. That he die, so shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. This is what is supposed to have happened to him. He's supposed to have been stoned and killed. He's supposed to have been hanged. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. He says, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. Next verse. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So he needs to be hanged, he needs to be cursed. Isn't it? Jesus comes and takes our place. Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. He decided to hang on the tree for us, to be killed for us, so that we can be free. That is what happened. Christ, our peace offering. Christ has sacrificed himself so that we will not be sacrificed, will not be destroyed. He became sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, instead of death, we now have life. Hallelujah. Instead of curses, we have the righteousness of God. We are blessed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And what follows after the fatted calf is killed? Mary. ISB of which birth? 1529. Okay, show us ISB 1529. I tell you, it's taking us back. It says, but the answer is not with you, Father, but with my friends. He also didn't have the Father in his mind at all. He was into serious works. And because he was into serious works, he couldn't understand why his brother who has gone, stubborn guy, he has come back. This your son. I tell you, if the boy had come after the father had died, that would have been it. He would have been killed, I tell you. Yeah. Oh, yes. These are the lawyers. Lawyers. You can either be a lawyer in the spirit or a righteousness by faith person in the spirit. Which one do you want? Do you want grace or you want law? Yes. Choose grace. Grace. Grace is God acting. There's nothing. The boy didn't do anything. The father was acting. Ran to him, embraced, had compassion, embraced him, kissed him. He said, give him the robe. He said, give him the ring. Give him the shoe. Kill the fatted calf. All is the father. The boy is just standing there. Just enjoying everything. Then after they killed the fatted calf, the Bible says, let us be merry. Let us be merry. The father has made all things ready. It's time to be merry. It's time to be excited. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Let us eat and be merry. Eating has to do with intimacy. The boy was invited back into intimacy with the father. Let us eat. The one you're intimate with is the one you eat with. You don't eat by just anybody. You eat by people who you are close to. Yeah? On the same table. Next verse. Verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They began to be merry. Brothers and sisters, we have been brought into a realm of being merry. The Bible calls Christianity a feast. He calls Christianity a party. Paul says that Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice. Let us keep this feast. 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 5, right? Am I saying it right? Can you show it to us? Feast, just type feast to come. It said it's time to party in the house of God. It's time to party. The Father wants party in his house. And pledge out therefore, this is 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Pledge out therefore the old believing, that he may be a new lamb as your unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Because Christ has been sacrificed, you see, look at the next verse. It says that, therefore let us keep the feast. The word feast is party. Not with old living, not with the mindset of the law, neither with the living of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Are you in the church?
Yes.
Show us other verses. Maybe it will say, it will use the word feast. Party. He says, but let us celebrate the festival. Other versions. TPT. So now we can celebrate our continual feast. Another version. So let's live out our part in the feast. This one is also still saying peace, feast. ASV. LSV. Hey, what is that? What does it say anyway?
So that we may keep the celebration, not with the old living, nor with the living of evil.
Christianity is a celebration. Christianity is enjoyment in the Lord. Are you in the church? Don't be angry when you come and we are rapping and we are happy. Don't be angry when you come and we are dancing and we are happy. Don't be angry when you come and we are eating and we are happy. That is Christianity. That is Christianity. Do you know the anointing Jesus had when he was on earth? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. TLB or 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. Okay. 5, verse 8. Show us 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8. TLB. So let us feast upon him and grow strong in the Christian life. Yeah. Feast upon him and grow strong in the Christian life. Yes. It's a feast. Now, show us Hebrews chapter 1. Those of you who think that sadness is a good thing, like Christian maturity is like this. Thou cometh to me with these aprons, but I come to thee with bread. It's like you want to speak King James English, something for us to know that you're a very serious person. Christianity is not about doing your faces like you are very serious. Nobody should move around. People can't even laugh. No. You got it wrong, brother. No laughter in the church. You got it wrong. No makeup in the church. You got it wrong. No wig in the church. You got it wrong. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. Look at this. Thou hast loved righteousness. He's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus has loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Because of that, therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with what? The oil of what? You didn't read it well. You thought it was the oil of sadness. It's the oil of gladness. Do you understand gladness? The oil of gladness above thy fellows. There was, what he's trying to say is that there was no prophet, no priest, no king. These are all the fellows of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. None of these people had the kind of joy Jesus had. Jesus was the happiest guy, the most excited guy, the most joyful guy. BBE. Show us BBE. Bible in basic English. You have been a lover of righteousness and a hater of evil. And so God, your God, has put the oil of joy on your head more than on the heads of those who are with you. More than oil of joy. You are happier than any other person. And we are the ones who come from him. Should we be sad and moving around like that? No. The younger brother came and they were merry. Not punished. They were making merry. The music was so loud and the dance was so loud that the older brother heard it. He said, what meaneth this? He heard it. Luke 15, verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He heard the dancing. The church must be filled with music and dancing. Loudly. Loud music and loud dance. Not all this quiet, I don't know. That is why a lot of churches are losing young people. Yeah. That's why they are losing young people. Because they have painted a picture of gloom and doom. Someone said Jesus was a man acquainted with sorrows. Yeah. That is a description of what happened to him on the cross. Not his life. His life was filled with joy. Joy.
He loved parties.
Oh yes. He was in parties, different parties. Hey! That's our Lord. We are in some place. Say we are in some place. Tell your neighbor we are in some place. Slap your neighbor by heart and say we are in some place. And now we are in the place of God. Let me show you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians 4, verse 6. Let's read from verse 4. So that it makes more sense. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. For what purpose? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive adoption of sons. I told you that word adoption of sons is sonship or son placement. So you can read it, that we might receive sonship or son placement. To be in some place, to be in the place of Jesus Christ. Are you in the church?
Yeah.
Next verse. Then listen, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now the Holy Spirit is in us. Can you imagine the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to let you know how He's to let you know the fatherhood of God. Like Jesus has a ministry, He says, I have declared it and I will declare your name to them. So Jesus has a ministry today where He's declaring the name of the Father to you. Like, listen, God is your Father. Listen, God loves you. Listen, God prefers you. God provides for you. God cares for you. God comforts you. God is your daddy. Jesus is doing that. Then the Holy Spirit also has a ministry of letting you know. He's crying in you, in our hearts. God is your Father. God, you see, the word Abba is Hebrew. The word Abba is Hebrew. And it's not translated even to Greek. The word Father is Pater. That's a Greek word. But the Holy Spirit decided to allow the word Abba to remain in the Hebrew. To let us know how intimate we have become with God the Father. Now we call God, the closest word to that is Daddy. Now you can call God Daddy. Not daddy, you don't go, daddy, daddy go. I'm talking about daddy, your father, daddy, not me. Yeah. Daddy, you can now call God daddy. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit together are crying to God. To let you know that you are really a son. We need to believe it. We need to believe it. We need to believe it. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans 8, 16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with the Spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The Old Testament, the law is the spirit of bondage. The older son had the spirit of bondage, spirit of slavery. He had 2 out of 3 of what the father had. That's what the father said, all that I have is now is yours. All that I have now is yours. You don't need to ask for permission to enjoy. Yeah. You don't need to do any of these things to have enjoyment in my house. You don't. Yeah. Those who are filled with law, lawyers in the kingdom of God, are the ones who keep criticizing those who are sons. Yeah. The Bible says that Hagar and Ishmael persecuted Sarah and Isaac. The law persecutes faith all the time. When you hear them on TV, on YouTube, on whatever, don't be surprised. Don't be on Twitter. Don't be surprised. They are just lawyers. They don't understand. Yeah. Because it's like, we are working and we don't have it. How come you are not doing anything and you have it? You just called for offering and it came. Small boys. The more they talk, the higher we go. They are not serious. Hallelujah. So we are going higher and higher. I'm in some place. Yeah. And in some place, you are where you need to be. Now God takes his love and slaps it on you like a pa. Say every day, goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Favor upon favor. Kindness upon kindness. Blessings upon blessings. Joy upon joy. Stability upon stability. Grace upon grace. Glory upon glory. Preferential treatment upon preferential treatment. That's your life. Believe it. Tell me about believe it. Let me show you some more. Yeah, more time. Yeah, Jesus has that ministry to let us know, and the Holy Spirit also has that ministry to let us know. Yeah, you'd be surprised. It's all over. Let me mention something about Jesus' ministry of letting us know the fatherhood of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. Paul is praying he's telling the church to pray. Okay, if you read from verse 1, you see it. Pray for us. And the Lord, finally, brethren, pray for us. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Do you see? Then it says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Then it says, and the Lord. The word Lord is curious. Curious is in reference to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's talking about Jesus. He says, and the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, he should direct your hearts into the love of God. Can you see it? He says, he prays that Jesus should direct your hearts into the love of God. Like, your heart should be deepened, should be entering more and more into the revelation of the fact that you are loved. God is your Father. I am loved. That's what he's praying for. Why do we pray in tongues? Mado gada shagada balaba. You read Jude 1:20. You didn't read 21. Look at Jude 1:20. Jude 1:20. Jude 1:20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Comma. Comma. Tell me about comma. There's a reason for what he's saying. He says, but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We stop there. What is the reason for praying in the Holy Ghost? Next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the knowledge of the fact that God loves you. Looking for the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love. The word keep is stereo. It means to be stuck in a particular place. It's like the description that is given to a fish in an aquarium in a house. Whatever is happening in the house has nothing to do with the fish. I mean, if the air condition is not blowing, he's enjoying himself in his area. That's what he says. Praying the Holy Ghost, and praying in the Holy Ghost keeps you in the consciousness of the fact that you are loved by God. That's what it does. That's what Jesus, that's what the Holy Ghost does for us, to keep you. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I'm sorry for quoting many scriptures. And I'm sorry if you can't keep much notes, but the intention of Believers' Convention is to give you so many things at once where you can chew on for the next 1 year. Okay? Hallelujah. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Ghost has a ministry of pouring the love of God. Not your love for God, but the love that God has for you. You are my son. I love you. I prefer you. I choose you. You are my son. I prefer. That's what the Holy Spirit is there for. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The word comfortless is orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as parentless, without care or comfort. I will come to you. NLT says it. It says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. You are not an orphan. An orphan is without care, without protection, without provision. You are not like that. Are you a child of God? You are not like that. You are cared for by God. You should know that God cares about you. God loves you. God likes you. He cares about... Oh. God's thoughts about us is higher than the seas of the whole world, the sands of the whole world, the whole world. David mentions, says, your thoughts of me are like the sand of the world. Something like that in Psalms. That's how God thinks about you. God doesn't play with you. You are very important to God. You are loved. Your job is to believe that you are loved, that you are liked. You are God's favorite baby. See, I'm God's favorite baby. Are you in the church? You have gone home. Yeah. It's amazing. That's a mindset I have. I am loved. God likes me. God cares about me. God sees me in a son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Sometimes the devil tries to bring my mind to the natural. The Bible says that the flesh profits nothing. You have to believe it. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You have to believe it. Anything related to the flesh is not good. Whenever the devil tries to bring you to think in terms of the flesh, you are this. You didn't go to a good school. So, I mean, what can you? You didn't? Yeah. I mean, it's like if you didn't go to certain types of schools, you can't be anything in life. Yeah. And then there are those who have gone to those schools and think that they are on top of the world. Both of you are in the flesh. Same value. I know some brothers, they went to some school, so they can't be taught. You can't share with them because, hey, you didn't, which school did you go to, my friend? Me too, I didn't go to a so good school like that. That's why I don't talk about my secondary school much. Because, I mean, it wasn't, it weren't good. It's now that it's coming on National Science and Math schools. Hey! But it's a good school. Yeah. Don't think in terms of the flesh. Always think in terms of what God has said concerning you. Hallelujah. Say, I'm loved. Beautiful. You can clap. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. You are going back with the knowledge that God loves you. God likes you. God prefers you. God protects you. God supplies all your needs. Yeah? That's who you are. Nothing can change his mind. Nothing can change his mind. What was I even trying to show you? Go to John chapter 16, verse 26. John 16, verse 26. Jesus is so... It's like, I want you guys to know. I want you guys to know. Why did he come? Why did he come? I came that you might... have life, right? Do you remember that? Okay, let me show you this. I'll show you that one. Look at this. It says, at that day, you shall ask in my name. Which day? The day we are in now. After I die and go back. You shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. I'm not going to ask the Father for you. Jesus says, I'm not going to be talking to the Father on your behalf. Stop saying to Jesus to talk for you. Jesus, talk for me. If Jesus is not talking for you, Mary will not talk for you.
A strong believer also not talk for you.
A strong believer will also not talk for you on your behalf. He says, and that, at that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. I will not talk to the Father for you. Jesus says, I am not going to talk to the Father for you. I don't do that. I've stopped that. Next verse. Why? Can we read the rest? One to go. For the Father himself loveth you. The Father himself loves you. Now you are as loved as I am. We are in the same position. So when I ask, they will let me walk on water. When I ask, five loaves and two fishes are multiplied. When I ask, water is changed to wine. When I ask, Lazarus is brought from the dead. You too, you can ask. Why? Because the love that the Father loves me with is the same love. And because the Father himself loves you. Because you have loved me and I believe that I came out from God. The Father himself loves you. Now you can ask. Why are you not asking? You can ask. Whatever you ask for, he says, shall be done. Remember, 90% is believing. Jesus has said it. Not believe. It doesn't make sense, but it's the truth. Believe it. No, yes. Believe it. Believe it. Tell anybody, believe it.
Believe.
We must believe. Tell anybody, we must believe. The Father himself loves us. You too, you are in the bosom of the Father. You too are in the bosom. You can walk through this world. Look, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we've read this verse wrongly. Reverend George explained this verse to me. It's so nice. Look at this. It says, God is faithful. by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, so when you read this, you think that, and I've thought like that for a long time, you think that he has called us to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's like we have been called into fellowship with the Son. That's not what he's saying. We have been called to Jesus' fellowship that he has with the Father. The same fellowship Jesus has with the Father. The fellowship of his Son, Jesus. The fellowship that the Son has with the Father is the same fellowship we have been called to have with the Father. Not fellowship with the Son, but the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's like what is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I tell you, you need somebody to teach you. If you don't have a teacher, you never know. I have teachers. Except some man should teach me. Blessed, look at this. Look at this verse, doesn't make sense. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Is God not our Father too? So why is he talking about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? He should be saying the Father, our Father. Blessed be the God and a Father of all of us, who has blessed us with all spiritual. No. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Meaning that Jesus had a certain fellowship with the Father. He had a certain fellowship with the Father. And based on that fellowship, you and I are blessed. I don't know if you get it. Based on that fellowship, you and I are blessed. And now God has called us to have the same fellowship that Jesus had with the Father. Same thing. Jesus was dwelling in the bosom of the Father. You're also dwelling in the bosom of the Father. The Father, listen, the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And Jesus wants you to know. John 17:23. He wants you to know. He wants you to know. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. It has to soak, it has to sink. The Father loves you. The Father loves me. It's something to meditate on. The Father loves me. If you knew that the Father loves you like he loves Jesus, your life would be different. And remember, that is the destination of the way. Jesus came to bring us to the Father. So if you don't know the Father, that the Father loves you, you are not, your Christianity will have a problem. Because that's the end. That's the destination. That's the destination. What is eternal life for? John 17. Everything is in John 17. You should read John 17 well. John 17, 1 to 3. Look at John 17, 1. Why did Jesus come? You remember Jesus mentioned, how many of you want to know why Jesus came? I've told you to show us the Father, right? But he braces down even some more. John 5, verse 24. Look at John 5, verse 24. Let me show it to you. Verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believes in him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The one who believes in me has something, everlasting life, right? Okay. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Eternal life is what he's talking about, right? John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, that you may have life, and have it to the full. Jesus is showing us why he came. He came to give us eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 48. Look at John 6, 38. Sorry, John 6, 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of God who sent me. What's the will of God? Next verse. And this is the Father's will, which he has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of God. Next verse. He explains it further in verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So everlasting life or eternal life is the reason why Jesus came. Are you getting it? I've showed you many verses. That's why Jesus came. Jesus had it so he could give it. John chapter 5, verse 26 now. Look at John 5, 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. So the Father has eternal life. He has given to the Son to have eternal life. And the Son has been sent to come and give eternal life to all who believe in him. You get it? That's the reason the Son came. John 17, verse 1, 2, and 3. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the eyes come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give what?
Eternal.
That's why Jesus came. He came to give eternal life as to as many as thou hast given him. So you agree on Jesus' mission?
Yes.
The next verse is a definition of eternal life. Eternal life is not dankwang. You are Nigerian, you don't understand dankwang. Dankwang has to do with living forever. Eternal life does not have to do with living forever. Because every human being will live forever. Every human being will live forever. Whether they are born again or they are not born again. Every human being will live forever. Every human being is a spirit. Spirits don't die. So every human being is going to live forever. So eternal life cannot be to live forever. It cannot be. It's not to live forever. Because whether you like it or not, you live forever. The question is, where and who you live with forever? Where will you live forever and who you live with forever is what is in question. So eternal life is defined by Jesus here. He says, and this is eternal life. This is the meaning of eternal life. There's another version that says meaning. This is what eternal life means. Which one? Is it TPT? TPT, show it to us. TPT. Eternal life means. What's the meaning of eternal life means? To know and experience you as the only true God. And to know and experience Jesus as the Son whom ye have sent. So eternal life is to know God. Is to have, the word know is to have sexual intimacy. It's the same word that is used, oh my friend. It's the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. When the Bible says that, and Adam knew his wife. And Adam knew Eve's wife. It's actually talking about sexual intimacy. So he's talking about having very deep intimacy with God. That is what eternal life is for. That is why there's an aspect of eternal life that is for beyond this level. Jesus said, the one who has left mother, father for my sake shall inherit now lands, blah, blah, blah. And in the world to come, life eternal. In other words, working for Jesus Christ gets you to have a certain level of intimacy with God in the life that is to come. You get it? So the eternal life for the life that is to come is for intimacy on a higher level. There are those who will be closer and there are those who will be farther because they didn't respond to the call of God. And others responded to the call of God. So your work for the Lord is to, the reason is to have proper intimacy with God on that day. But there's an aspect that is given to us here and now to have intimacy. Eternal life is for the purpose of knowing the Father. Knowing the Father. That is what eternal life is for. Eternal life is for, this is what it means to have eternal life. To know you, the only true God. As what? As Father. That Jesus brought the only true God as Father. And he was the one who was qualified to declare him as Father because he's the only begotten of the Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. When you get born again, you come through the road, through the way, to the Father. Now you are with the Father. And you must believe. You must know and believe the love of the Father. You may not know. You must know it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John 4, 16. I'm sorry for quoting many scriptures. I'll see you in another year. Look at this. Can we read this together? One, two, go. This is John talking. You see, Jesus was in the bosom of the Father, right? When Jesus came, John slept on the bosom of Jesus. Yeah. Maybe next year I'll preach about John. And his understanding of the love of God. John is the only one who did not die by any other means, but he died naturally, natural death. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Yeah? They fried him, he didn't die. They chopped off his head, he didn't die. They pierced him with sword, he didn't die. Whatever they did to him, he couldn't die. He couldn't die. He became like God. He was unkillable. Undiable. Sisu. And his power, Charlie Sisu part 2 is coming on. His power was in the revelation of the fact that he's loved. Everybody ran away. All the disciples ran away when Jesus was caught. Only one went to do negotiations for Jesus.
Only one. His name is John. John went to do negotiations with the high priest for the release of Jesus Christ. Can you believe it? Maybe you've never seen it before. Show it to us. It's in the Bible. It's in John. John 20, I believe. Can you help me? He uses the word that disciple. You can just type that disciple. It will come. He went in to negotiate for Jesus' release. And he was the only one who was standing at the foot of the cross. Everybody ran away. He was at the foot of the cross. Have you found it? The preacher is not lying. It's in the Bible. 18. John 18, 15. It says, and some people followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the place, into the palace of the high priest. Have you seen it? That disciple says he went in to go and he says he went to the palace. He was known. Was known unto the high priest. It was John. That is why John was there throughout. At the cross, he was there. He inherited Mary as mother. Yeah. John 19, 27. Look at John 19, 27. Same word. Then said he to the disciple, behold, thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. That disciple is John. John is the one talking. He doesn't want to do too no. He's hallelujah. Knowing how much you are loved there, it will empower you to be shocked. Yeah. We don't call ourselves love economy for nothing. Yeah, God showed me a glimpse of it. That's why I'm preaching it. Yeah. That's why we are the way we are. That's why things work the way it works. Because I believe strongly in the love of God for me. Yeah. Yeah. 1 John chapter 4. Look at this. Can we read this? One to go. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. Can you imagine? He says, we have known. So, two things to do. Know the love of God for you. And believe the love of God for you. Know it. That's why a message like this will help you. Know it. And believe it. I am loved. Meditation is what will open the capsules up for you. What does it mean? I'm going to show you. What does it mean to be loved by God? What does it mean? God loves me. God enjoys me. God prefers me. I'm in the sun place. God is showering his love on me. He says, know it and believe. Know it and what? Believe it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold! You must behold. You must see. Yes. You must acknowledge. You must see it. You must acknowledge it. The word behold has to see with the prophetic eye. Acknowledge it. Recognize it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knew us not because it knew him not. Now, he says, beloved, next verse, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, not tomorrow, now are we the sons of God. Now, you are a son now. Fatherhood, every father needs a son. Or a child. You can't be a father without a child. We have become the sons of God. Male sons, female sons. It says, behold, what manner. Look at it. See it with your eye, with the eye of the spirit. Acknowledge and recognize that you are loved. Yeah. That you are in that place. Never, when you think about God, don't think about him beating you. Or it's like he has meant you. You have done, you see. Are you born again? If you are born again, then you are loved. God is now, you have come through the way and you are now with the Father. Hallelujah. Enjoy intimacy with the Father. Yeah. When you wake up in the morning, thank the Father. Thank you, Father, for the blessing. Those of you praying to Jesus in the name of Jesus, repent. We don't pray to Jesus in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And those of you pray and end your prayer with Adumninti. You are one. Jesus said you pray in my name, not you pray in grace. It doesn't make sense. I know Jesus is grace, but he lets us know specifically what to do. He says you should pray in his name. We should pray to the Father in his name. Because when you make a request in his name, it's like he is making a request. You are in his place. And heaven will not deny you. If you know you are loved, you will know you will not be denied when you pray. It's the best place of real faith.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.